2 weeks ago, in my hometown of Beit Shemesh, I paid a shiva call to Sharon Lowenstern, daughter of Jean Goldrich, Zichrona Livracha. And this was on Erev Pesach, and her living room was full of comforters. And as I walked in, Sharon was explaining that her mother was a third-generation Chicagoan, I think, and a staunch supporter of the State of Israel, who was always involved in Zionist causes, often in leadership positions. She explained to her comforters that the Chicago community was made up of many people like her mother, and described the powerful impact the community had upon her own love for Israel and her ultimate aliyah. As I looked around the room, I knew that I understood Sharon's sentiments more than anyone there. I too grew up as a religious Zionist in Chicago. My own love for Eretz Yisrael here in Chicago was cultivated through a powerful combination of nature and nurture. I'm the daughter and granddaughter of Chicago natives on both sides. My paternal great-grandfather was the Gaon HaRav Chaim David Regensburg, who served as the Rosh Yeshiva of Skokie, Av Beit Din of the CRC, and head of the RCA. His wife, my great-grandmother, Masha Regensburg, Zichrona Livracha, was diagnosed with terminal cancer in 1958. And upon learning of her illness, she got herself a passport, left my great-grandfather, and flew to Israel alone to spend her final weeks in the land that she loved but had never seen, with her sister, whom she hadn't seen since she left Europe more than 40 years before. That sister, Bluma Raziel, was the mother of David Raziel, commander of the Etzel, the Irgun, under Menachem Begin, and the mother of Esther Raziel Naor, a member of Knesset for its first 7 sessions. I'm the oldest of 4 siblings. Oh wait, not yet. My great-grandfather, Rav Regensburg, made Aliyah when he retired in 1971, as did my maternal great-uncle, the beloved Chicago Mechanech and Shaleach Tzibur, Rav David Silver, and his wife, my Aunt Evelyn. And I'm the oldest of 4 siblings who grew up here in Skokie. I went to Hillel Torah. I ate Buxer on Tu B'Shvat. I learned Ivrit B'Ivrit from wonderful Shlichim. I attended Or Torah, a shul which my parents were founders of. My whole childhood was spent davening in this building. I went to B'nai Akiva on Shabbat, Moshava in the summers, and the yearly Yom Ha'atzmaut dinner. My parents took us to visit Israel several times, and as an academy student, I learned Hebrew from Mrs. Bass and took the Bechina Yerushalmit. I attended Machon Gold with fellow Chicagoans and studied with the esteemed Rav Reuven Abramin, Zichrono Livracha, a Chicago native who had received smicha from my great-grandfather. And on the day that I came home from Machon Gold and told my mother that I planned to make Aliyah, she lost it. Hi, Ma. She simply did not want her children and future grandchildren to live so far away. In 1998, as you know, Mark and I were the first of my immediate family to make Aliyah. And 11 years later, in 2009, my parents made Aliyah to Jerusalem. I'm getting off a climb here. My parents made Aliyah to Jerusalem with Nefesh B'Nefesh, who's filming this, to join their 4 children and their spouses, their 22 grandchildren, and my maternal grandparents. My parents have recently celebrated the birth of their 3rd great-grandchild in Jerusalem. And yes, my mother does thank me regularly and often. For me and my family, the Chicago religious Zionist community was the fertile soil from which we grew, the village that raised us to love the State of Israel. And therefore, being here today to celebrate Israel's 70th birthday with you is a great honor and privilege. And my heart is filled with tremendous hakarat tov. And so, in preparation for this talk, I've asked myself, what do I have to offer you, my beloved religious Zionist of Chicago? Do I need to tell you about the tremendous personal sacrifice of the pioneers of the State of Israel over the past 200 years? From the students of the Vilna Gaon, the Eastern European and Yemenite immigrants of the first Aliyah, Herzl's audacious Zionist vision and his heroic efforts, the socialists and the second and third Aliyot, the pre-state idealists and refugees and Holocaust survivors, Jews from Europe and the Middle East who trekked across countries with only the shirts on their backs and fought for Israel on the battlefields and in the agricultural fields, suffering and even dying from hunger, illness, and enemy fire, courageously striving to build government institutions and an army and settlements and cities and Torah institutions, yesh me'ayin. Or do I need to tell you about the Mesirut Nefesh of our Chayalim throughout these 70 years, my children and their peers, some of your children and your grandchildren, who risk their lives every day to protect our state? Or do I need to tell you that when Israel became a state in 1948, after 2,000 years of wandering and oppression in Galut, we were witnessing God's hand and the first flowering of our redemption, Reshit Smichat Gulatenu? Or that we are seeing the Gula unfold and the words of the prophets being fulfilled each and every day before our very eyes, like when Yeshayahu said, "Si'i saviv enayich uri'i, kulam nikbitzu va'olach, banayich merachok yavo, ubnotayich al tzad te'amana." Lift your eyes up around and see they are all gathered together and are coming to thee. Your sons are coming from afar and your daughters are coming as well. And today, as we know, the majority of the world's Jews, over 6.5 million, live in Israel. Or when Zechariah describes God's return to Zion and says, "There shall yet be old men and old women sitting in the broad places of Jerusalem, every man with his staff in his hand for every age. And the broad places of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the broad places thereof." And today, Israel is number 8 in the world in terms of life expectancy. And Israel has the highest birth rate amongst the countries of the OECD, with an average of 3.1 children per family, where here in the US, the average is 1.9. Or in Dvarim, where we're called an Am Chacham V'Navon, Hagoy HaGadol Hazeh, a great nation who is wise and understanding. And we are number 1 in the world in terms of medical innovation, number 1 in terms of recycling wastewater. We recycle 90%. Next in line is Australia with 22%. We are number 1 in the world in our utilization of solar energy and so much more. And when Yeshayahu prophesies and says, "For the Lord has comforted Zion, he has comforted all her waste places and has made her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of Hashem," we witness how the land began blooming. Only once the Jewish people returned to it, and it continues to blossom. As Rav Shalom Gold famously teaches, if you want to speak to God, go to the Western Wall. But if you want to see him, go to Shuk Machane Yehuda. And we are number 1 in the world in terms of planting trees, even though half our country is desert. I need not elaborate on the thriving, miraculous, and beautiful state of Israel because you are religious Zionists. I know you know all this. You taught me this. The state of Israel is of the highest value to you. And so in the few minutes I have here with you today, I would simply like to ask all of you a personal question. What do you feel about the state of Israel, way, way down inside? What is your personal relationship to Eretz Yisrael? How does the unfolding of the Geula before our eyes impact upon who you are as a Jew and your spiritual growth at every moment? This question is fundamental. For as Chazal teaches in Chagigah 5b and Shabbat 145b, no matter how pleasant certain exiles may seem, Jewish life outside of Israel is an abnormal situation. As Rav Kook explains in his seminal work Orot, 2,000 years of Galut has distorted our view of what Israel means to us, a distortion that must be rectified. Rav Kook explains that the proper perspective regarding the land of Israel must not be that it is merely a means toward an end. The role of the state is not only to facilitate Jewish unity, or to serve as a safe haven for all Jews, or to serve as the ultimate site to perform mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, or any mitzvah. Rather, from the time of Avraham Avinu, the Torah makes clear that the land of Israel is inherently holy and an end in itself. The Jewish nation and the land are eternally intertwined and must be so in order for God's plan for creation to be fulfilled. Specifically, as Rav David Sampson and Zvi Fishman explain in their commentary on Orot, Judaism is God's plan for uplifting all of the world to the service of God, the physical side of life as well as the spiritual, the national as well as the individual. This exalted goal can only be achieved by the example of a nation when Israel lives its complete Torah life in Eretz Yisrael. We are to be a light to the world, not just as righteous individuals scattered throughout the four corners of the globe, but as a divine holy nation with an army of Torah scholars as well as an army of tanks. A justice system founded on Torah, divinely ordained agricultural laws, and with the temple at the center of national life. This is the call of Sinai which Moshe brings to the nation in his very first teaching in the book of Devarim. You have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn away and take up your journey. Go in and possess the land. In other words, we need Eretz Yisrael to complete us as Jews so that we may complete our mission of elevating the world. With regard to this point, Rav Uri Sherki, a very well-known rabbi and teacher in Israel, teaches something that I think is very cool. He explains that the Hebrew language is the only language in which the words for male and female share the same root, ish and isha. And woman and man, by the way, is not the same thing. Woman, actually, I looked it up, it's not a man with a womb. It derives from something completely different and just evolved into the word woman. So ish v'isha, the only language in which they share the same root. The message of our holy language is that man and woman are intertwined at their essence, and one is not complete without the other. And then in Sefer Yechezkel, the Jewish people are described as follows. Ve'aten soni, son mariti, adam atem. And you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are adam. We are called adam as a nation. And the Radak here explains the meaning of the pasuk as follows. When God is our shepherd and we are his sheep, when we follow God with complete devotion, then we as a people will earn the name Adam. Adam is the name for Am Yisrael at its optimum. And what is the feminine of Adam? Adama. The Jewish people in the land of Israel are eternally merged and complete each other, like a body and a soul, like a husband and a wife. Gemara on Shabbat 31 teaches that when we die and reach the heavenly court, as Rav Kala already spoke about, we are asked several questions. Did you deal honestly in business? Did you set aside fixed time for Torah study? Did you yearn for salvation? Tzipita leYeshua. Throughout our history, this question has been understood to mean, have we believed b'emunah shlema b'viyat HaMashiach? Have we wished and hoped in our hearts that Mashiach will come? And here Rav Kook brings a chiddush on this that reflects the tkufa, the period in which we now live. In that Gemara, tzipita is actually spelled with one yud, so that you can also read it as tzafita la Yeshua. Litzpot is to observe, to watch, to witness. Are you watching, observing, witnessing what is unfolding before your very eyes? And how are you responding to the unfolding of Geulah, which you see? Rav Kook asserts that if we look upon Eretz Yisrael as a sidelight to Judaism, rather than as a central goal in our lives, our connection to Judaism will not bear fruit. He explains that as generations pass, Judaism will fail to survive in our children because Judaism's foundations in the diaspora are weak in comparison with the towering Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And so we must ask ourselves, each of us individually, do we see Israel only as a great place to learn Torah in, to visit and become inspired by and to support, or do we believe at the core of our beings that the land of Israel completes us as individuals and as a nation? In fact, to experience that our Jewish lives are currently lacking and to actively yearn for the Geula in our innermost beings is really our only choice. As Rav Kook explains, quote, "The concept of Judaism in the diaspora will only find true strength through the depth of its involvement in Eretz Yisrael. Only through its longing for Eretz Yisrael will diaspora Judaism constantly receive its inherent qualities. The yearning for salvation gives the Judaism of the diaspora its power and stamina, whereas the Judaism of Eretz Yisrael is salvation itself." On this point, Samson and Fishman explain that if a Jew is not actively yearning for Israel, then something is wrong with his spiritual life. If he identifies with being a Jew and takes pride in his Jewishness, but he is content in Galut, this indicates that he is detached from the Jewish ideal. For the truest expressions of Judaism and Jewishness are a devotion to God, to Torah, to Am Yisrael, and to Eretz Yisrael. None of these can be complete without the others. Rav Kook teaches that the more out of place one feels in Galut, the more one's yearning for the land deepens. The intensity of the yearning depends on the depth of a person's love and connection to Eretz Yisrael and his inner attachment to the skulot of the land. Like a lover far away from his beloved, a Jew should feel a passionate desire to be reunited with the land of Israel. Moreover, Rav Kook explains that the impact of one's yearning for the land is far-reaching when he states, quote, "The depth of the holy yearning, of the love of Zion, of remembering the land to which all good things of life are bound, when this valiantly increases in the soul, even in the soul of one individual, behold, it acts like an overflowing spring to all of Klal Yisrael." Our yearning for the Geula does not only influence our own individual lives, but the lives of those around us and of the Jewish people as a whole. This is because each Jewish soul is connected to every other soul of Klal Yisrael, and so the yearning of one soul for the Geula has a positive influence upon them all. And so, I urge you to ask yourself, are you actively yearning for the return to Zion in your own life on a consistent basis? Each day when you recite the Shemona Esrei and say the words, Ki li Yeshuatcha kivinu kol hayom, we hope for your salvation all day, are you genuinely longing to return to Israel? Is this yearning part of your conscious awareness? And if for whatever reason you can't return, are you imparting to your children, to your grandchildren, to your friends and community, the clear message that we as individual Jews and as a klal can only be fulfilled when we are all in Eretz Yisrael? Are you encouraging them to return? For some of you in the room, I know the answer is a resounding yes. For those of you who are not, there is no better time to start than right now, as Israel celebrates its 70th year. After all, Hashem, the Jewish people, and all of creation are counting on you. Thank you.